So in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is going to release such revelation today. It's going to bring people such freedom. It's going to change their life. It's not just going to be another session of words and teaching, but words of power that these people can take with them and cause them their lives to be completely changed as their souls are healed in Jesus' glory and his light. Okay. In this conference, we're going to be talking about the soul and how woundedness gets on your soul and how it affects every part of your life. And we're going to talk about how the glory light of Jesus can heal your soul. It's a supernatural tool to cause accelerated healing of the soul. We're also going to talk about how dreams and visions can lead you down a path to healing. And they can guide you through the steps to getting your soul healed. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with lupus. Lupus is a deadly disease where the body literally starts attacking and destroying itself. I was very, very sick for many, many months. And then one night, I had a dream. I had a dream. I was with my father, who I had been separated from for over 15 years. And he was upset because I had not been spending time with him. When I woke up, I asked the Lord, "What does it mean, Lord?" And I got still. And I allowed him to speak and put a scripture into my mind. I asked him for a word from the Word of God. And I got quiet, and in my mind, I heard Mark 5. When I went to that scripture, it was about the story of the man who was assailed by the spirit of Legion. And I remember, as I read that story, the Holy Spirit had one particular thing jump out at me. I noticed three times that that man lived among the tombs. Now, at that time, I had no idea what God was trying to tell me. If I knew then what I know now and what I'm going to teach you today, and if I had my dream language further developed, I would have not only known exactly what it was that was causing me to have that lupus, but I would have known exactly what to do about it. Now, God, in his total sovereignty and his mercy, came and he healed me of that disease anyway. Oh, yeah, amen. I was sitting on my bed one day just asking God, "What's going on, God? What is this lupus thing all about?" And he spoke to me and he said one word. He said, "Hezekiah." Now, if you remember, Hezekiah was the king who gotten sick and was going to die. And then God came in when Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall. God came in and sovereignly healed him and extended his life. And when the Lord spoke that one word to me, Hezekiah, I was instantly healed of that lupus. Amen. Now, you know, I just love those moments. I love when God comes in and sovereignly does something super cool like that. When you're like totally clueless, you have no idea what's going on. You're totally completely overcome and overwhelmed. You have no idea what to do about it. Your knowledge and your revelation is just totally flat on its face, but God comes anyway. He's loving you so much, and he takes his big papa daddy hand and he smashes the problem and dissolves and completely wipes it out. I love that. But I'll tell you what I love just as much. I completely am so excited about when I am able to receive revelation, deep, detailed revelation, wisdom, and understanding that can cause me to be a part of the miracle. Amen. Do you want that? Yes. Hallelujah. 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 God can use dreams and visions to give you insight so that you can be positioned to be a part of the miracle. It's how he leads you. It's a roadmap. It's a guidance system. And it will cause you to be able to bring the things of the invisible realm of the kingdom of heaven here to earth and to see them manifest in signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Today we're going to teach you how to understand God's language in dreams and visions. We're going to teach you how to interpret this special language. And you're going to receive impartations that will cause you to have a seer anointing explode in your life. That will cause dreams to explode in your life. You're going to receive so many anointings and impartations today. This is a really super cool time for you. Amen. I have not only myself, but some powerful women with your anointings here to lay hands on you today too. So you're going to get double dosage all day long. Amen. And as you receive these impartations and as you learn how to unpack dreams and visions, what we're really going to focus on today is how those dreams and visions can lead you down a path to healing for your soul. Okay, but we're going to learn about how dreams and visions will help you get to healing of your soul. And that's what I'm going to focus on in this morning's session. I want to lay a foundation of the soul and why it's so, so important for you to get healed in your soul. Why is it important for your soul to be completely healed? Because it's connected to every single thing in your life. Everything in your life. The condition of your soul is directly connected to your relationships between husband and wife, between you and your children, you and your friends, between people at work, between you and people at church. Amen? The condition of your soul is directly connected to your level of peace and contentment. How many of you just every day harassed in your mind, harassed in your mind, harassed in your soul, your emotions, everything harassed? Just constantly bubbling up, going down. You're trying to just maintain that peace level. Did you know that as your soul gets healed, your peace level is going to completely enlarge its tent over you? Amen. Amen? The condition and health of your soul is directly connected to your level of dominion over demonic powers. I'm going to show you that today in the Word of God, and you're going to be completely amazed. And you're going to see that as you start getting healing in your soul, your dominion is going to completely shift. And you're going to go to higher levels than you ever have before in your life. The condition of your soul is directly connected to your finances. We're going to talk about that. And how demonic powers can be over your finances because of the condition of your soul. And the condition of your soul is also directly connected to your physical healing. If you've been waiting for a breakthrough in your physical body, how many people have been waiting for a breakthrough in their physical bodies? Yes. It could be held up because of a woundedness that's in your soul. And we're going to learn about that today. As we start, I just want to give a foundation about the soul. What constitutes your soul, man? And if you've heard this before, oh good, you can hear it again. Amen? Then you'll really get to know it and understand it. What constitutes your soul, man? Your mind, your will, and your emotions make up your soul. We're three-part beings, right? Body, soul, and spirit. When you're born again, your spirit is made instantly perfect, right? Right? The Bible says that the same spirit that lives in Christ lives in us. Okay. However, upon your regeneration in Jesus, your soul is not made instantly perfect. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are constantly under the process of being healed and brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why 1 Corinthians 10 commands us to take every thought captive and every imagination captive to Christ that would set itself up against the knowledge of God. That scripture indicates there's a process of bringing our soul into healing, amen, and under submission to Jesus. So our spirit man is made instantly perfect upon our salvation, but our soul man is not. How many of you know that our soul is a mess? Okay? Over our lifetimes, each and every one of us has experienced situations, circumstances, events that have left wounds on our soul. Okay, and those wounds on your soul can affect every part of your soul. They can control your mind, the way you think, thus the decisions that you make. They can control your will, your ability to choose rightly from wrongly. Okay, they can control your emotions and cause you to have unbalanced, unhealthy, even dangerous emotions like rage. The wounds on your soul have the ability to control you and even cause you to sin. Listen to what Paul says about that. Paul talks about this in Romans 7:20. He says this, "Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin principle which dwells within me, fixed and operating in my soul." You see that? Paul was saying that the last thing he wanted to do was sin. But the sin principle that was fixed and operating inside his soul was causing him to sin. It was controlling him. Amen? Oh boy. You know, there's a call for holiness right now like never before. Everyone is preaching holiness, and that's a really good word. Here is the problem, that you can try all you want to be holy and every day say, "I'm not going to yell at my husband. I'm not going to boss around my kids. I'm not going to snap at that person at work. I'm not. You better shut up. Stop. Get out of my face." Oops. What happened? Oh, it was that thin principle fixed and operating inside my soul, baby. Oh. It made me snap. It's controlling me. Oh, tell me it's not true that it's super hard to be holy if you're being controlled, like Paul says, by the sin principle that's fixed and operating inside your soul. Amen? But when those wounds inside your soul get healed, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be so much easier to walk in holiness and blamelessness before the Lord and in righteousness before Him. And when there's a purified people that are walking together in unity in the church because they're not even bickering at each other out of the junk and that inside their soul, there's going to be signs and wonders and miracles that break out throughout the entire world. It starts with our soul. Amen? Did you know that the wounds inside your soul are what cause the strife and contention between people? Between husband and wives, between friends, between family members. Many times when people are speaking at each other like this, shooting arrows out of their mouth, do you know where it's coming from? It's coming from the bitterness that's inside their soul. It's coming from a wound that might have even happened way before they even met that person. They're responding to something somebody said right now in the present out of something that wounded them from the past. Okay, listen to proof of that. In Job chapter 10, Job says this, I am weary of my life and I loathe it. I will give free expression to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Do you remember what happened to Job? His entire family and his property were wiped out. His children died. He lost everything and he was sitting there covered from head to toe with boils all over himself. And now, do you think that those past events caused wounds in his soul? You bet they did. And now he's speaking out and complaining to God and to his friends who, be it they were helping him the right way or not, they were just trying to help him. And he's complaining and speaking bitterly to them out of the woundedness in his soul. Wounds on your soul are what can cause contention between peoples. Amen? And can cause us to strike at each other with a wicked fist. The wounds on your soul are created by sin. Someone either sinned against you or you sinned against yourself. Maybe someone sinned against you. They abused you. They abandoned you. They rejected you. Maybe you sinned against yourself. You committed adultery. You watched pornography. You got involved in drugs. Whatever it was, either way, sin creates the wound. I want you to listen to what Mark 9 says about this in the Amplified. It says, if your eye causes you to stumble in sin, pluck it out. It is more profitable and wholesome for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm, which dieth not, is a symbol, listen to this, is a symbol of the wounds inflicted on the man himself by his sins. Okay, that scripture is talking about your soul. How do I know? It says, if your eye causes you to stumble in sin, pluck it out. What is the eye? The word eye there in the Greek literally means the mind and the faculty of knowing. What's the mind? It's part of your soul, right? So in other words, when it talks about the eye there, it's not just talking just about your literal eye, but also about the stuff that's in your soul. And it's saying that the wounds inside your soul, quote, are created by the man himself, by his sin. Sin creates the wound on your eye or your soul. Okay? Now, because the wounds on your soul are created by sin, it gives the demonic the legal right to torment you. If that wasn't already enough, I mean, those wounds are making you snap at your spouse and freak out on your kids and totally lose it and be controlled and to do sin. But also, because those wounds are created by sin, it's giving demonic powers the legal right to come in and torment you. All right? Now, let me show you and prove my point. In Psalms 143, it shows us the exact place in your life that the enemy is looking for a way in. Okay? It is your soul. Listen to what it says. For the enemy has pursued and persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in dark places as those who have long been dead. Demonic powers are constantly looking for the legal right into your life. Sin gives them the legal right. And they're not targeting your spirit, man, because your spirit is perfect. Christ's spirit lives in you. Okay? So they're pursuing and persecuting the wounds in your soul that were created by sin. It's those wounds that are giving them the legal right to torment you and to afflict you. One of the reasons why the enemy did not have any power over Jesus is because there were no wounds in his soul. Listen to me. Jesus Christ came to earth as a man. In Philippians 2, it says that he shed all of his rights and came to earth as a man. He even went to the cross in obedience to God in a man's body as a man. Jesus Christ had to come to earth as a man without sin. Without sin. Why? Because if he did not, he could not have gone to the cross and atoned and been the perfect sacrifice for the rest of mankind. He had to be a man without sin. Amen? Jesus Christ came as a man, which meant he was built just like us. He had a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now we know Jesus' spirit was perfect because we get our born-again spirit from him, right? But his soul was perfect too. His soul was perfect. How do I know? Because there was no sin in Jesus. And wounds are formed by sin. So there could be no wound in his soul because there was no sin in him. Amen? Amen. So there was nothing inside of Jesus that would give the enemy a legal right to afflict him. Listen to what Jesus says about this himself in John 14. He says, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius ruler of the world, is coming. And he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. So he has no power over me. Did you hear that? One of the reasons why Jesus Christ, as a man, had complete dominion over the enemy is because there was nothing in him that was in common with the dark kingdom. There was nothing in any part of his soul. There was nothing in his mind, his will, or his emotions that belonged to Satan, that was in common with Satan, so Satan had no dominion over him. Now I want you to listen to further proof of this in Mark 5. Do you remember the story about the spirit of legion? Listen to this story. And Jesus came to the other side of the sea, the region of Gerasenes. Well, the glory just dropped on my shoulders like bam, like that. Truth, somebody's about, the realm just opened up for somebody to really understand this right now. Hallelujah. And as soon as Jesus got out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man under the power of an unclean spirit. This man continually lived among the tombs, and no one could subdue him anymore, even with a chain. For he had been bound often with shackles for the feet and handcuffs, but the handcuffs he wrenched apart and the shackles he ground together and broke in pieces. No one had the strength to restrain him. Night and day he was among the tombs, beating and bruising and cutting himself with stones. And when from a distance he saw Jesus, he ran and fell on his feet, his knees before him in homage. Now listen to this next part. And crying out with a loud voice, he said this, what do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? What is there in common between us? I solemnly implore you, do not begin to torment me. What did Jesus say in John 14? The prince of this world is coming, but there's nothing in me that's in common with him, so he has no power over me. That spirit of legion recognized there was something different about this man, this man Jesus, that there was nothing in this man that was in common with that spirit. There was nothing in his soul that was in common with legion, so legion recognized that he had no ability to torment Jesus. In fact, Jesus could torment that spirit. That's why he said, oh, Jesus, what is there in common between us? I beg you, do not torment me. Are you getting where I'm going? Are you really getting where I'm going? Yes. You know what I thought was interesting? Is that spirit calls Jesus Son of the Most High God. He recognized that this man he saw walking in front of him was the Messiah, was Son of the Most High God. You know why? Because it was probably the first man he'd ever run across that didn't have any wounds in his soul created by sin. Now, there's another man in this story. There's Jesus. And then there's this other man. The other man is the guy that's completely under the control of the spirit of legion. Why? What enabled that man? What caused that man to be open to be completely tormented by legion? I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was the wounds in his soul. How do I know? Let me show you biblical proof. I'm just going to skim here through Mark 5. As soon as Jesus got on the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man under the power of an unclean spirit. This man continually lived among the tombs. Night and day he was among the tombs. Boy, sure does say tombs a lot. When I read that, I thought, there must be something very important there. So I began to look up that word tombs. You know what it means in the Greek? It means to recall or to remember. It also means a monument set up to cause a perpetual remembrance. Do you understand that's what a soul wound is? It's a monument inside your soul that causes you to be perpetually affected by that event that happened all those years ago. It's a monument inside your mind that causes your thinking to be perpetually controlled about that horrible thing that went down when you were just a child. It's a monument inside your emotions that causes your emotions to be affected and controlled by that thing that happened in the past. That's what a soul wound is. It's a tomb, baby, with a dead body in it, living inside your soul. It's a monument. It causes you to be perpetually controlled by that horrible event. That man that was under the control of the spirit of Legion was living among the tombs. He was living out of the woundedness in his soul. And because wounds in your soul are created by sin, it gave Legion the legal right to afflict him. Do you hear me? Nod your head if you understand. Yeah.